Amen. This morning, we want to get right into the Word, and what a powerful presence of the Lord. We're excited this morning to have a very special guest with us. Gary and Dee have been here a number of times in the past. I forget how many years ago it's been. It was before years ago. Gary was and Dee were pastors in Mobile. Roll Tide. Yeah, no, he didn't. See, he didn't like that. He's not that kind of guy. I pray for him all the time. Gary was somebody needs deliverance. He was a DCAP for the Louisiana district for many years. Sheila and I were children's pastors there in Louisiana. His time was there. He's worked with Mission of Mercy. They changed the name to One Child Matters, and just anointed. Some of you might have remembered Dee shared her story of a remarkable healing that God did in her life. We had a prayer time, and we had healings that took place on that Sunday night. But we're glad to have Gary Dee Sapp with us this morning, and I've asked him to come break the bread with us. Would you come? Make him welcome this morning, Gary Sapp.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Good morning. I tell you, I'm glad to be here. A buddy of mine told me the other day, he said, Sapp, at my age, I'm glad to be anywhere. And so I hadn't got that old yet, you know. A guy asked me the other day, he said, boy, your hair's turned gray. I said, at least it didn't turn loose. So, you know, I mean it, you know. I decided if it did turn loose, I was going to do like most all these other guys. I'm going to shave it. That way I don't have to fool with it, you know. My wife said, why do you keep your hair so short? I said, because it's easy. It's easy. I don't have to worry with it. I don't have to fool with it. I just get up, throw a little water on it, and leave. And, you know, and I'm not trying to impress anybody anyway. Dee and I travel 44-45 weeks a year in the States, and then we go overseas 2 to 4 times a year as well, and we go through a lot of airports, and I am convinced that 90% of the people that come through an airport did not look in the mirror before they left home. I'm convinced of that. Amen. But we're just happy to be here. I appreciate a church like this. Now, let me tell you something. You travel as much as we do. We go to churches that when they sing worship courses, nobody raises their hands. Nobody says amen. I'm serious. We also go to churches where they tell me they are assemblies of God, but they say to me, we don't have an outward voice of speaking in tongues here, so please don't do that. Pastors tell me that. I'm going, you need to take your credentials and turn them in, son. I'm just saying. Because that ain't what Sims God believe. We don't lock him up in a back room somewhere. Amen? The most important person on the face of this earth is the Holy Spirit. When Jesus left, he sent him. He said, I'm sending him for a reason. He's going to be your strength, your power, your guide, your help. And whatever you need till I get back, he's going to take care of it. Whatever it is. And for all of you that are going through the storm, thank God for a pastor that will go by the leading of the Holy Spirit and do what the Holy Spirit says. But all of you that are going through the storm, you just inform the devil you are the storm. Okay? And if you're going through a valley, you don't tell people you're going through the valley. You tell them you're changing mountaintops. That's all you're doing. You got to go down there to get back to the other one, but hey, I'm just changing mountaintops. Amen? So I'm just telling you, I am so thankful to see people when pastor calls come up and pray for other people. And I mean, not one or two. It was a bunch that got around everybody. Pastor, that blesses my soul. That just blesses me. I need to go. I need to come to churches like this just to get myself charged up. I'm just telling you, it's an amazing thing. And But Dee and I are just so thrilled to be back. And it's hard to believe it's been 4 years, but time just goes by, you know. You know, and I always say this, and I know I tell you, a lot of you are guilty of saying this, okay? I know you are. You got, the older I get, the faster it goes. I said that the other day to my 93-year-old mother. You know what she said to me? No, it don't. She said, you got the same 24 hours, the same 60 minutes, and the same 7 days a week you had the day you were born. She said, God ain't changed that one bit. She said, your problem is you go too much. She said, even people that live at home, they go here, they go there, they do this, they do that. They don't stop, they run here. And if we try to take a little break, oh, let's go do something. She said, that's why everybody thinks it's going so fast. Then she said to me while we were eating lunch, she said, you know, son, if I don't hurry up and die, all my friends that went to heaven's going to think I went to hell. I didn't have an answer for that one. So, the only thing I did tell her, I said, Mama, if they know you like I know you, they just know you ain't got there. My mother, she can come up with them, I'm telling you. And never crack a smile when she says it. You know? She used to whip me when I was a kid. She would never say, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. Has any of you ever said that to your kids? Yeah, going to hurt me more. You're lying. You know you are. She never said that. She said, this is going to hurt you, and I'm going to enjoy every bit of it. Amen. I want my wife to greet you, and I'm going to do my very best to let you out at the same time Pastor does. But I want Dee to greet you this morning. We've been married 46 years. We have two daughters and four grandkids, and the two of them live right close to us down the street, and the other two live in Bossier City, which is not far from us. We live in West Monroe, Louisiana, and so we get to see the grandkids, and we know why we have grandkids. It's because we didn't kill them two girls. Because there was days, I didn't mean literally kill them, but I'd go, I'm going to kill you, you know. And they say, Mom, I never did that. Mama, we didn't do that. Oh, yes, y'all did. Because their kids are doing to them what they did to us, and we're going, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Honey, greet these folks.
Don't we all have selective memory? Church, it is great to see the vision of the house and feel the presence of the Lord. Something to cherish, and it's not in every house. I have shared my story here, but I want to highlight for those of you that may not know. I am now at 21 years and about 8 months beyond being told I had 4 months to live from cancer. With God, nothing is impossible, even creative miracles, because I stand here today before you with a colon in my body that over half of it was removed, and I have a full colon. God still creates. He makes new, and it's not just physical. Spirits, minds, bodies, the addicted, the broken. I'm thankful today for a good, good God that loves us. He's faithful even when I'm faithless. He's coming soon, church. Let's get after it. Let's go.
Praise the Lord. God is good all the time. Amen. Let me tell you what we do, and then I want to share the word with you today that God's given me. This morning in the hotel room, I woke up about 3, and it's not because I'm spiritual. I just woke up. And I didn't get up, but I woke up. And I laid there for a while, and I went back to sleep. And about 7 or a little before 7, I woke up again, and the Lord said, get up. I want to share something with you. And so, you know, the Lord knows you got to get up. Because if you lay there, he'll share something, but you'll get about a third of it. When I pray, I walk. If I don't, I'll go back to sleep. You know, so I just get up and start walking. Yeah, and I don't close my eyes either, because if you do, you're going to hurt yourself. You're going to run into something, you know. So, but the Lord shared with me something I want to share with you today, okay? And it's an amazing thing, because when she was healed, and God put that colon back in her body, I had an old Cajun buddy down in Thibodaux, Louisiana. Anybody know where Thibodaux's at? Oh, y'all know where Thibodaux is? So, buddy, Cajun buddy, come up, and he said, "Sha, I do not believe that." So I don't give a rip where you believe it or not. And I told my wife, she said, "Honey, that's harsh." I said, "Well, okay." So now I go, "I don't give a holy rip where you believe it or not." So, you know. So if you need a cuss word, holy rip's a good one. I hope you don't need a cuss word, but holy rip's a good one, okay? We feed, clothe, educate, and medically take care of 40,000 kids every day. We operate in 14 countries of this wonderful world that we live in. And these kids just don't have a chance without you and me. Out on that table out there as you leave this morning, that where we have our display, there's 10 little boys and girls out there that are in picture frames. Those 10 kids are mine and D's. We've been sponsoring those 10 kids for almost 12 years. When the Lord told me to do that and told her to do that, the Lord shared it with me, and I shared it with her, and she said, yes. She said, I believe we should. I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, because it started out with those 10, I said, Lord, that's $390 a month. Like, God can't multiply or add, and he certainly needs my help to do it, you know. I mean, like, God's going to tell you to do something, he don't know what it is, you know. I said, God, that's $390 a month. And God said this to me. He said, I will get it to you if I can just get it through you. And I'm going to tell you, every month it's been in my checkbook. Extra. I mean, God gives it to me extra. It comes in different ways. I was sitting in a restaurant not too long ago. Guy come by me and said, hey, preacher, how you doing? I said, hey, Richard, I'm doing good. He said, while I was eating, God told me to give you this, and he stuck his hand in my shirt pocket. From that day on, I decided I'm wearing shirts with pockets on them. So I got rid of all my shirts that don't have pockets on them, except my golf shirts. Because, man, hey, you know, you got to help God out. If you're sitting down, they can't reach in there and bless you. Give them a pocket to work with, you know. Some of you ain't getting blessed because you ain't helping God out. Give them a pocket. And so he stuck it in my pocket, and I got in my car, and I looked at it, and it was a $100 bill. And immediately I thought, wow, that's great. I'm going to get that golf club I've been wanting. Because it was on sale for $100, and it was going off sale the next day. Thank you, Jesus, you're so good. God said, that ain't for a golf club. Now, I don't know how God talks to you. He talks to me like I talk to him. I talk to God like I'm talking to you. I don't go, oh, great thee up there. This is the humblest of thou down here. Yeah. I go, God, this step, I got a problem. And the Lord said, I told you I'd get it to you if I can get it through you. That is part of the $390. And every month, it's unbelievable how it comes. I got a rebate the other day. I called my insurance agent. You know, if you get a rebate from your insurance company, it's a miracle of God. And I got a rebate the other day, and I called him. I said, I got this rebate. I just want to know if it's real. He said, well, is it on one of our checks? I said, yeah. He said, well, it's real. He said, why are you wondering? I said, because I just never got one of these. I just, you know, it's something different. And he said, well, I don't know why you got it either. I said, well, could you find out? He said, well, sure. And I hung up the phone, and God said to me, I caused that to happen. He called me back, and he said, I don't know why you got the rebate. The home office don't even know why you got it. Are you sure that's one of our checks? Oh, yeah, I'm positive. And sure enough, it was good. And you say, well, how much was it? I know everybody wants to know that. Hello. It was $56. You go, well, that ain't much. Oh, yes, it is. When God's going to give you $390 every month, 56 counts. Because God said that's part of what you're going to get. I'm going to keep getting it to you. I just got to get it through you. So that's how we sponsor our 10 kids. A lady in Houston asked me, she said, do y'all get a discount? I said, no, ma'am. And if I did, which one of them kids you don't want to eat tomorrow? Which one you don't want to have clothes? Which one you don't want to have all the things they need to get through their life? See, these kids are just, this little girl's 13 years old. She's from Zimbabwe. And it is just an amazing thing what it does. Inside here is a white form, just like this one that I'm showing to you. You get this profile. It's yours to keep. And people always ask me this, how long do I do it? You just do it as long as you can. There's no set time, and we're not going to send the mafia, One Child Matters police, and break your legs if you don't do it. Okay? You just do it as long as you can. If you have to quit, we understand. Sometimes people will say, I'll do it for a year or two. I talked to a lady this morning. She saw my shirt, and she said, I've been sponsoring one of your kids ever since you was here last time. I said, well, thank you. Thank you. But you just do it as long as you can do it. But I can tell you this, God will get $39 to you. We spend more than $39 eating out. Amen? I had a car dealer tell me that. He said, I spend more than $100 a month just eating out every day. He said, I spend way more than $100 a month. He said, I think I can sponsor one of them kids. I said, well, thank you. I appreciate that. But you fill this white form out that's in here. You put it on a credit card or a debit card. It's safe with us. Nobody will ever compromise your number as long as it's on that card. And when you fill that out, you tear it out, and it looks like this. Now, if you take this home with you right here, then you've kidnapped my child. Because this is the only thing that ties you to the child, is this form right here. Credit card or debit card, you can pay cash, you can write a check. You can say, bill me on the bottom of it. Any way you want to do it, you can do it. I put mine on my credit card for two reasons. I'm going to tell you how good God is. I don't only get to take care of them kids every month for $390. Guess what? I get points for doing it. Do y'all have credit cards that give you points? Hello. Now you tell me God ain't good? I sponsor my kids, and I pay my tithe with my credit card. I get points for paying my tithe. Isn't that awesome? And so you fill it out, you tear this out, and you turn it into us before you leave today. This is what connects you to the child, because we only have one sponsor, one child. So as soon as you can pay, if some people, they say, bill me, well, we can't get a bill to you for 2 weeks. But if you put it on a credit or debit card or write check or pay cash, then that child is sponsored automatically. And so these kids are waiting for a sponsor. And so I want you today to just think about that and say, how can I change a life? Because, see, you'll never be more like God until you do something for somebody that can never repay you. I have teenagers that sponsor kids. I have children's churches, youth groups. It is amazing. I have three little girls in Jackson, Mississippi, 12 years old. All three of them sponsor a kid together. Isn't that great? All three of them. All three of them put their name on the form. And so they all three sponsored the kid. And they've been doing it for over a year. Three little 12-year-old girls. Now they're older. But that's what happened. So I want to just share a video with you this morning. But if I forget to say something about what else to do with these kids, my wife can help me. You write to them, and they write back to you. They'll never ask you for anything. They'll thank you for everything you do for them. And I'm going to tell you, it is a blessing beyond blessings. Not because I do it, and I don't get paid per child or anything like that. If nobody sponsors a kid today, I still draw a paycheck from One Child Matters. I don't get paid to push these kids. I would never do that. They are singing groups out there that I'm telling you that are these singers that run around nationwide, these big artists, they get paid, a lot of them, not for us, but there's an organization that pays them $40,000 a year to push them kids. And they have to push at least 2,000 of them. There's a group out there. You come to them and I'll tell you privately who it is. I'm just telling you, we don't do that. We have a lot of integrity. If you sponsor a child, it's because you want to do it, and it helps us, because that's what God called us to do, is take care of them. But we can only do it through you. Amen? We also rescue little boys and girls out of prostitution, out of sex trafficking. My wife is on the board of Louisiana Unashamed Love Sex Trafficking Ministries. And she got to go down the other night in New Orleans and work the streets with the lady that rescues these women off of Bourbon Street and get them to a safe house. But we rescue little boys and girls out of prostitution in the countries we work in. 5 years ago, the number one country for sex trafficking was India. 3 years ago, the number one country for sex trafficking was the Philippines. Today, the number one country in the world for sex trafficking is the United States of America. That's sad. I said, that's sad. So here's what we do. We rescue these little girls, and we rescued a little girl named Eileen off the streets of the Philippines. And after about a week or two, three, I can't remember exactly how long it was, Eileen came to our director and said, I would like for y'all to go get my two sisters. They're out there. And she told us where they would be that night, what corner they would be on, and so we went to get them. We rescued all three of these girls. We've had them with us now for 3 years. And a few weeks ago, Eileen and the girls, we were over there filming. And as we were filming the school and the safe houses and hiding where they are and all this stuff, and so people wouldn't really know where they were, she came to us and she said, can me and my sisters go back to our village and pray for the lady that sold us into prostitution? And we thought about it, and so our TV crew said, if we're going to do this, if y'all going to do this, then we're going to do it as it happens. There's not going to be any of the reenactment stuff. We're going to go and do it as it happens. Contacted the lady, told her she was having company, please be at home. She had no idea who it was. Watch this video, and you'll see the story of Eileen and her three sisters.
Sometimes I can ask God why life is so unfair, because some of the kids like me, they have their father, their mothers to care for them. But for me, it's... Before, when I was in my home, like I'm in the darkness, I was very bad girl. But now God really changed my life. He really molded me. I'm so thankful to God that He brought my two sisters here in the safe house so that they can know Jesus and all of their dreams and hope will come true because God is always there for them. I know Jesus and God has a purpose for my life. I'm 14 years old when I first came here in the safe house, and now I'm 17 years old. Someday I want to become a teacher. I was very different before than now. Now I am a new creation of God. I began to realize that He has a great plan for my life. I can see my bright future. My motto in life is never give up. No matter what trials may come my ways, I will continue to serve the Lord because God promised me that He will never leave me and He will never give up. Now I am a worship leader. My favorite song is Thank You, Lord, because it means a lot to me. You took my darkness and gave me your light. That's why that I like that, because really God took my darkness and He gave His light to me. Thank you, Lord. I just wanna thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Isn't that amazing? It's amazing what Jesus will do with a life. And you don't ever know what Jesus will do with the life of this child that you sponsor. I'll just tell you this, 83% of our 40,000 kids have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And I tell you, not only that, I'm going to share this with you real quickly, is those girls that day led their mama, sitting on that bench in front of that little shack, they led her to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And she begged them to forgive her, and they did. And she found Jesus, and we put her in touch with a pastor and a church, and the pastor tells us she don't miss her and those kids. They don't miss church. Her siblings, they are always there unless they're sick. And I'm just telling you, $39 does more than this change this kid's life. It changes the family, and it's just an amazing thing. The ushers have these in their hands. This gentleman here has some with him, and there's some more around. And I'm just going to ask you, if you would help us, if you'll raise your hand, they'll bring one to you. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to get the one God wants you to have. I'm just going to tell you that. I've seen it happen too many times. And you just immediately fill out that white form if you put your hand up so they can come to you. I need about 35 or 40 people today. That's how many I brought for this service that would say, we'll do this. Would anybody want to sponsor this little girl from Zimbabwe? While I've got her up here, anybody at all? Okay. I will tell you this. I promise you this, that these kids will thank you. They will thank you and thank you and thank you for blessing them and helping them. And you can't go wrong. But honey, come get this. I have businesses in West Monroe that sponsor kids. And those guys, every one of them tell me, since we started sponsoring kids, God's blessed our business tremendously. And I'm telling you, you just take a step of faith and watch what God does, okay? And I want to share with you this morning, if you have your Bible and you want to turn to, you won't be able to find these scriptures as fast as I'm going to read them, but I have my Bible here. I had a lady that chewed me out, Pastor Mike, because I didn't read from the Bible. I read from my phone, and she just crawled all over me after the service. I just smiled at her and thought, poor little narrow-minded lady. That's all I thought, you know. And I'm just glad that I have the Bible on my phone, on my iPad, on my computer at home. And I'm glad of the versions because it helps me. It helps me to understand the book a little better. And I love the Bible. I carry this Bible. I read out of this Bible. I study out of this Bible. But I've got so many scriptures, I put them on my phone because it was just easier to go through them. Is that okay? Okay. If it's not, it's still okay. Thank you. Okay. Genesis 4:4. I want to share with you on the subject of divine favor. Abel, on his part, also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions, and the Lord has regard for Abel and for his offering because God showed him favor. Genesis 8:6-8, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Genesis 39:21, but the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. Exodus 33:12. Then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up these people, but you yourself have not let me know whom you will send with me. Moreover, you have said, I have known you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. One more. I got more than that. Matter of fact, I have 70 written down. Proverbs 3:4. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Did you get that? There's not a person in this building today that does not like favor. Now, in case you're taking medicine, it's 7:07. I don't want you to miss your medicine. If you don't like favor, guess what? You're weird. Hello? We all like favor. Now, you tell me you don't like favor. Oh, yes, you do. You let your boss come around giving raises on the job, and you want favor. Amen? Christmas time, birthday time, we like favor. I told Dee one year, Christmas, she said, what do you want for your birthday? My birthday's right before Christmas. And she said, what do you want for your birthday? And I said, I don't need anything. I have plenty of socks and underwear. I'm fine. You know, if a man's got 7 pair of underwear, he's good. 3 pair of socks for the week, he's good. But I love favor. But I love divine favor from the Lord. Favor is mentioned 72 times in the Word of God. It undoubtedly was important. And I ask people all the time, and they'll say to me things about, why do you have so much favor on your life? Why is it that you and Dee are so blessed? And why does good things happen to you? Because we do what the book says according to favor. See, every time, because I ride in my car, and I said to the Lord, God, I want more favor. Now, maybe you don't talk to yourself, but I do. If you're not talking to yourself, you're missing half your life. And if you're not answering yourself, you're missing the other half of your life. So you that are not talking to yourself and answering yourself, you don't have much of a life. So I'm in my car, I'm riding down the street, and I said, Lord, I want more favor, but not just on me. I want favor on my kids, on my wife, on my grandkids. I want favor, Lord, on my whole entire family. I want more than I'm getting now. Now, the book says I can do that. I can ask for it. And the Lord said to me, okay. And then he just got silent. I said, Lord, did you not hear me at the last stop sign? I want more favor in my life. We have a lot of favor. I'm thankful for it, but I want more favor. And the Lord said, I want you to give more. Give more? Lord, do you know how much we give now? That's the way I talk to him. Like he don't know. Guess what? He knows. He knows what you do and what you don't do. And I want to just help you real quick on something. Don't you try to tell God you can't do something that he puts in your mind to do. Because he knows what's in your checkbook. He knows what's in your savings account. He knows where you live. Hello? He knows what kind of car or truck you drive. I'm in Texas, so a lot of people drive trucks. God gave you everything you have. Now, I wasn't going to preach this, but this morning, God said for me to do it. I don't understand why. I don't argue with God. I just do it. The thing about is, the house you live in, God put you there. God gave it to you. I don't care if you're renting, God pays the rent. The clothes you have on your back. You say, well, we know all that. I don't think so. Some people seem to forget. Hello? So I said, Lord, well, what do you mean? God says, favor increases in your life every time you pray. Favor increases in your life every time you go to the house of God and you assemble yourself with believers wherever it is. Favor increases in your life every time you read the book. Favor increases in your life every time you do good to somebody that can never repay you. Hello? But we tend to forget some of that stuff. I'm sitting at home one night, not too long ago, and I'm sitting in a pair of short pajamas, and they're ugly. I mean, they are ugly. I don't even know who gave them to me. I would have never bought those. I had a shirt on that didn't even match. I was barefoot. I was sitting in my recliner. How many of you men got your own chair? Some of you don't, bless your hearts. So I'm sitting in my recliner, and it hit me at 9:45. I just looked at the clock. I did not get bread and milk today like Dee told me to. Now, some of y'all, I know what you men are thinking. Yeah, he's henpecked. Oh, yeah, I am. Yeah, but I love the hen doing the pecking. Yes, sirree, buddy. I don't mind being henpecked at all. I thought, okay, Brookshire's is maybe 3 minutes away from here where I live. I can jump in my car and go up there and get that bread and milk. They close at 10. Nobody will probably be in there. And I can just zoom in and zoom out. I grabbed my wallet, grabbed my car keys. I jumped in my car. I got out. I ran in the store. There was not a soul except I saw one girl behind the cash register and one boy standing there to bag the groceries. Nothing, I didn't see anybody else. I thought, hot dog. So, man, I tear out toward the back. I grab that milk. I come back by the toward the bread aisle, and I see a woman. She's got a buggy full. I thought, oh, my Jesus. She's headed for that cash register. If I don't beat her up there, buddy, I'm going to be here a while. And I bet she's got 9,000 coupons to give to shovel in that thing. I know y'all are thinking, well, y'all are so holy. Oh, bless Jesus, that little sweet woman there. Oh, yeah, baloney. I buy what y'all thinking at the grocery store. It's called baloney. You think just like I did. Oh, Lord. So I run by the bread aisle, didn't even look and see what kind of bread I grabbed. I just grabbed a loaf. And I tore out toward the restaurant. I thought, if I cut over to 3, I can cut her off. So I take off. Now, you're looking at a man that's dressed in his beautiful attire, a shirt that don't even nowhere near match all that, and barefoot. And I'm trucking it down that other aisle. And I see her coming down. I thought, come on, man, come on. You got to cut her off. And just as I got there, she got there at the same time. And being the gentleman I am, I said, go right ahead. No, I did not. She turned that buggy in front of me. She saw all I had was a gallon of milk and a loaf of bread. That's all I had. Did she say, sir, why don't you go ahead? Just go ahead, sir. It'll be okay. You only got a couple hours. Oh, no. 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 She was probably in her late 20s, early 30s maybe. You know? I thought, in my mind, I thought, lady. You know, and I knew they wasn't going to open another register. They wasn't another cashier in the joint. So I stood there, fuming. I know y'all would have been, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for letting me get behind this woman. Yeah, I know that's what some of you belong. I don't think none of them in here would have done that, Pastor Mike. And all of a sudden, the Lord says to me, buy her groceries. I thought, dear Jesus, she cut me off. Now you want me to buy her groceries. It's okay, Lord. So I'm trying to get the little girl at the register to pay attention to me. The woman's putting her stuff up on the deal, and you know, and the little girl's, you know, beeping it, and I'm trying to get her attention, and I finally got her attention, and I said, thought, well, now anybody can figure that out. Me, you, her, I'm paying. You don't know sign language, lady? That's a little teenage girl. She didn't know what I was talking about. And finally, she looked at me again, and I went to the lady. And then I thought, okay, wait a minute. Money clip. Me. And the little girl went. I thought, well, praise God, I knew you were home, but your light bulb wasn't on, sweetie. So when the lady got ready to slide her card through after she got to go, the girl put her hand over the machine and said, no, ma'am. She said, your groceries are already paid for. And she turned and looked at me. I was the only one in there. She didn't admire my beautiful attire. Anything. She turned and looked at me and she said, you did that. I said, no, I didn't. Now, I know what y'all think. I know how the devil puts thought. You, let me, anybody ever had a dirty thought besides me? Anybody ever had a bad thought besides me? Hello? You can have bad thoughts sitting in church. Some of you going, I wish he let us go. Oh, yeah, I know how the devil works. The devil's the one that'll tell you don't sponsor kids or don't do nothing for nobody because you ain't going to get blessed. You're going to just have to do without. Well, let me clue you something. The favor of God comes to us who do what he tells us to do. That's the favor of God. So here's the thing. I said, no, ma'am, I did not. I said, God did that. I said, ma'am, I don't know you. You don't know me. All I know is God told me to buy your groceries. So I'm not buying them. God's buying them. He's just giving me the money to do it. She looked at me and started crying. I thought, oh, Lord, don't do that. I thought, Lord, lady, you'll get me to cry. She said, I'm a single mom. And my boys were hungry. And I don't know how many boys she had. But she's got more than one. I ain't understand why she had a basket full of groceries. Boys can eat the house down. And 10 minutes later, they're hungry again. So anyway, she said, I knew I could put it on this card, but I knew when it came due, I would not have the money to pay it. And I didn't know what I was going to do. And she said, and then you come along. I said, yes, ma'am. And God's going to bless you. And I don't know anything about you, but God's going to bless them kids because God loves you. God cares about you. And God's not going to let you do without, mama. Just know that. Of course, she wanted to hug my neck and thank me and all that, you know. And she was young enough to be my daughter, you know. I said, you're certainly welcome. And then when I got up there, the little girl, the lady was going on out, and the boy was taking her groceries out, and the girl looked at me, and she just did this. She went. And I had to do this. I said, you like my attire? I said, I forgot to look in the mirror before I left. And I did, on purpose. But you see, it's called the favor of God. Because before the next day ended, I mean, this her buggy cost a few hundred dollars, okay? Before the next day ended, a man walked up to me and gave me the money to not just cover the groceries I had paid for her, but three more times worth. He just said, God told me to give you this. I'm telling you, when you obey God, the favor of God will run you down and do for you like nobody else can do. Because when you obey God, His favor is going to jump all over you. I'm just telling you. So I asked God. I said, God, I just want to ask you a question. Why is it that people in churches are so stingy? Help me, Lord. God said, because money is the hardest thing for my people to let go of, and especially for the kingdom. Now, I don't know who tithes and who don't tithe. It don't matter to me. Everybody smiles, and I won't know. But can I tell you something? If you're not a tither, then you are cheating yourself out of the blessings of God that He's got stored up for you. God said this to me in my car the other day. He said, Gary, I've got blessings in store for my people that they have not even tapped into yet because they have not been obedient in their giving. Hello? I said, Lord, I'll never be that. You see that lady sitting right down there? And I'm not saying this braggingly, and if you take it bragging on me and D, then I hope God shakes you to your liver quivers. I'm bragging on God. For the last 2 years, we've given away 50% of everything we've made, and we've lived on 50%. I said, for the last 2 years, we have lived on 50% and give away 50%. And we just didn't do it overnight. We worked our way up to it because God kept saying, give here, give there. We didn't even know we had done it until the CPA called and she said, which she's a spirit-filled lady, she said, do you know how much you gave away this year? I said, I do not. She said, you gave away 50% of what you made this year. She said, I know now why you're so blessed. This is my CPA. I know now why you're so blessed. We didn't intend to do it. It just happened. Because God said, do this, buy this, help somebody here, help somebody there, take them 10 kids every month. Just do this. Let me tell you something. When I'm telling you, God will, and you're looking at two people today that are totally out of debt. Totally out of debt. Whatever pastor gives me today for preaching, or if he don't give me nothing, 50% of it is going to go somewhere else, and I'm going to keep 50. Because let me tell you about God. God says He'll take care of you. He'll make that 50 stretch like it was 100. God will cause people just to give unto you. God will cause everything in your house to last longer. We have a freezer in our house. We bought 1977. Used for $120. It still freezes. At least when I left, it was running. I said that in one church, Pastor Mike. The guy come up to me after church. He said, brother, let me talk to you. And I thought, oh, God, here we go. What does he want? And you know, I mean, I'm just like you. I think these kind of things because the devil puts them thoughts there. If it's a good thought, it's from God. If it's a bad thought, it's from the devil. Okay? You can determine which is which. And I said, yes, sir. Then I thought, well, what do you want? He said, brother, don't talk about that freezer. He said, the devil's going to tear it up. And I said, well, guess what? If he tears it up, God's already got one lined up somewhere. I ain't worried about it. I'm not going to quit giving God the glory for what He does just because somebody thinks the devil may do something. Let me clue you in on something. The devil can't do one thing to me that God don't let him do. And if God lets him do it, God's going to get glory out of it. somehow God's going to get the glory out of it. So I'm just like Clint Eastwood. The devil messes with me. I said, go ahead, devil. Make my day. How lucky do you feel, punk? Because if you mess with me and God's not letting you mess with me, God's going to blow your brains out. So go ahead, bud. I don't run scared of the devil or his demons. Because greater in he is what's than him. Jesus rests inside of me. The Holy Spirit's inside of me. And he says, with that, I can defeat any demon on the face of this earth. Amen? So here it is. That's it. It's all about that. It's 12:30. It's called the favor of God. Oh, I could tell you a lot more beautiful stories about God blessing us. I'm just telling you. It's just amazing. Because we didn't intend to give away 50%, but we sure are not griping about it. Because we lived on the other half and we're out of debt. Hello? We built a house. How long have we been in that house, baby? 12 years this October? 12 years. July we closed on it. So we 12 years ago. 12 years ago. And we still owed a few thousand dollars. Like over a few hundred, thousand dollars. And I get a phone call one day. I looked at caller ID. I knew who it was. Isn't that wonderful? Don't you like caller ID? I do. This guy on the other end said, how you doing? I said, good. What are you doing? I said, I'm working. Because I work out of my house. He said, God told me to pay your house off. I said, oh, glory to God. I said, you heard from God, brother. Now, I know what some of y'all said. Oh, no. No, don't do that. There's a lady this morning. I bought a T-shirt for my wife. Now, she's a sweetheart, that lady that was out there with those T-shirts. And she said, it's $10. I gave her $20. I said, keep it. She said, no. I said, yes, ma'am. Don't cheat me out of my blessing. And she laughed. She said, you're right. That's good. Thank you. She's a good receiver. You can't be a good giver if you ain't a good receiver. Hello? So here's the whole thing. God is waiting to bless you, but you won't let him. I said, you won't let him. Because you're not doing what he told you to do. You say, well, we can't do that. Hey, don't ever tell God you can't do something when he tells you to do it. I don't care if it's giving money or if it's talking to somebody in the food line or whatever it's doing. Don't you go, let me tell you again, God knows everything you got. Amen? My mom and dad are 92 and 93. My dad's 92, my mom's 93. They sponsor one of these kids. And my mom said to my dad, we're going to sponsor one of them child. One of them children, my dad said, now, Irene, and there's nothing wrong with this answer. He said, you know we're on a fixed income. She said, Leonard, I'm sick of hearing that. She said, everybody's on a fixed income. Some of them are just fixed better than others. So she said, we're sponsoring one of them children. Let me tell you something. I just want everybody here to be blessed. I want you to be blessed like I'm blessed. Because God says he don't show favor between me and you when it comes to giving. And here's the thing about tithing. If you don't tithe, you have put a curse on yourself. And the sad part, not only on yourself, on your family. According to Malachi 3:10. Malachi for those that are real professional. You get the book of Malachi and read it. 3:10. Read all of that. Just read the whole chapter. It says you bring a curse on yourself and your family. I don't want no curses on me. Hello? I had a man in Thibodeau come up to me. I don't know what everything happens to me in Thibodeau. But he come up to me after the service, Pastor Mike, and he said to me, he said, can I talk to you? I thought, dear God, I know he ain't no tither. Now, I didn't preach this. I just happened to say something about tithing. I just said everybody needs to tithe. If you're a child of God, you ain't tithing, you better check your salvation. And so he said, I'm going to talk to you. So, okay. So I said, you want to sit down here on the front row? Church was dismissed. Everybody was leaving. He said, yeah. I said, what's your problem? He said, I get tired of this tithing thing. I get tired every time I come to church. He said, you know why I don't come to church more than I do? I said, brother, I don't know you. I don't know how many times you come and you don't come. I'm the guest speaker. Well, I'll tell you why I don't come more than I do. Well, I didn't ask you. He said, I don't come more than I do because all you preachers talk about is money. I said, well, let me ask you something, Bubba. I did not know his name was Bubba. First of all, you don't find a Cajun named Bubba. He told me later that day, he said, after you called me by name, he said, I thought, uh-oh, I better listen to this man because God's already told him my name. I call everybody Bubba. After I told him, God didn't tell me his name, he said, shoot. I said, let me tell you something, Bubba. And I told him about tithing, cursing, all went through the whole thing. And he looked at me and he said, you really believe that stuff, don't you? I said, yes, sir, because that book says it's right. And I don't want no curses on me, and you got one on you. I said, sad part's on your whole family. And I grabbed the Bible and I read it to him. And I said, what'd you make this week, Bubba? Still, I didn't know that was his name. I said, what'd you make this week? He said, $1,000. I said, is that your gross or your net? He says, my gross. I said, good. I said, because God said, bring the first fruits into the storehouse, not after your insurance is taken out, not after your union dues are taken out, not after all your taxes is taken out. Hello. But if you just want to be blessed on the net, go ahead. I'd rather be blessed on the gross. So I said, you got a checkbook? Yeah, I got one. Pulled it out. I said, let me see it. I wrote out First Assembly of God Church. I wrote $100. I said, sign this. He said, what's that for? I said, that's 10% of what you made this week. You got to pay your tithe. He said, starting today? I said, oh, yeah. You got to start today, Bubba. You get out of here, the devil's going to tell you it ain't going to work. Matter of fact, the devil's been working on you sitting right there. He said, yeah, he has. He signed it. I gave it to the pastor on the way out. I said, this is one of your new tithers right here. And I said, God's going to bless him. And I said, now, Bubba, you listen to me. I said, I'm going to check on you. I said, next week, if you don't pay your tithe, I'm going to find out. I said, but you do this for 90 days. And if you're not blessed mentally, physically, financially, and spiritually, I will check with Pastor Walt, and I will give you back every dime you give to this church, to the Lord. He said, you got a deal, preacher. In 90 days, he called me. He got my number from Pastor. He said, hey, this Gary? I said, yeah, this is Bubba. I said, yeah, buddy, how you doing? He said, I just want to tell you something. That tithing thing works, brother. He said, my God. He said, I got two raises. He said, not only that, he said, somebody gave me a car. He just rattling off stuff to me God had done for it. He said, man, thank you. Thank you for being honest with me. I said, you are welcome, buddy. The last time I was there, it was 2 years ago. I walked in the church. He met me at the door, handed me his checkbook, and he said, I know you're going to take an offering for something. He said, write that check out for $5,000 and no more. Pastor told me, he said, he's the biggest giver in this church. Amen. Stand with me, please. Hallelujah. I know I'm way over time, but that's okay. I just want to tell you something today. If you sponsor the kid, please don't take that white form home with you. If you do, I pray the fleas of 1,000 camels inherit your bed tonight. Please don't take that white form home with you. If you've changed your mind, or maybe you you just want to go by and look, my wife will be out there, okay? I want to do one more thing just before I turn it back to Pastor Mike. And thank you for indulging me today. Thank you for letting me be longer than normal. But I dare not talk about the favor of God and not give somebody an opportunity to know about his favor. You say, we're hungry. I am too. But it'll wait. Because that sermon was not important as this is. I said it was not as important as this is. I'll never forget the night I got saved, Pastor Mike. Now, I got saved a lot as a kid because my daddy was a pastor. And sometimes we'd have evangelists come to our church that nobody would get saved, and I'd go get saved just to, so they'd have at least one. I'm just telling you the truth. But the night I really got saved was February the 14th, 1968, in a foxhole in South Vietnam. I'll never forget it. I said, God, if you're trying to get my attention, you got it. I mean, there was rockets flying, mortars coming in. I didn't even know what they were. And I crawled over in the corner of that bunker. It was so dark. And I said, Jesus, I don't want sin in my life anymore. Because my daddy said that sin would destroy me if I left it there. And I don't want any sin in my life. And I'm asking you to forgive me of my sin. And I'm asking you, Lord, to be the Lord of my life. And I'm going to serve you the rest of my life. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget the feeling that came on me. I'm going to ask every head in here to be bowed and every eye closed. And there's nothing spiritual in this at all. There's nothing spiritual about closing your eyes or bowing your head. We do it so that you don't, nothing disturbs you, number one, and a matter of reverence to the Lord. That's why we do it. There's two people in this building today that knows if sin is in your life, and that's you and God. You and God. He knows it. You're not going to hide it from him. You may hide it from your spouse or your family, but you're not going to hide it from God. And you know if there's sin in your life. And I'm going to tell you something. If you leave it in your life, it'll destroy you. I said it'll destroy you. Now, I don't try to embarrass anybody. And all I'm going to do is ask a question today. If there's sin in your life and you would like for me to pray for you, I would like that honor before we dismiss to pray for you. And if you would like for me to do that, I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand, put it up and put it down. That's all I want you to do. And I'm going to pray for you. Anybody in here this morning? Thank you. One, two, three, four. Those four can put your hand down. Thank you. Anybody else? Five, six. There's sin in my life, and I know it, brother. I'm not hiding it from anybody. I just want it out before I leave today. Why would you want to leave here with sin in your life? Go home sinless. Six people's raised their hand. Anybody else before I pray? Seven, thank you. Eight, thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else today? Anybody in the balcony? Nine, thank you. 10, thank you. 11, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I was never the same after that night. Now, I know sin will try to creep back in your life, and saying a sinner's prayer does not give you a license just to go out and sin. But the beauty of it is this: if you slip up, and you sin, then let me tell you something. Immediately you need to stop what you're doing, where you're doing it, and simply you need to say to the Lord, God, I've just sinned and I know it. Forgive me. Help me to never do this again. Anybody else before I pray today? All right. Now I'm going to ask this entire congregation to do something with me and those 12, thank you, those 12 people. I'm going to ask today, everybody in here repeat this prayer with me, and I want those 12 to repeat it as well. Dear Jesus, today I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Thank you, Jesus, that you have made it so simple for me to get rid of sin. Today, Lord, I will do my best to not sin again. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we thank God for 12 people today? Pastor Mike. Thank you for letting us be here today, Pastor Mike. Thank you. Thank you so very much. And thank you for helping us with these kids. We have no other way to sponsor them except through people like you. So thank you so much.
Amen. Come on, let's just give the Lord another ovation of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sheila and I have sponsored through Mission of Mercy now One Child Matters for a long time. It's an important thing. I want to encourage you to get behind and do everything you can to help with these kids. But also, as we close in prayer, I want to ask this question. And if you raised your hand this morning and you prayed that sinner's prayer, tell somebody. Make sure that you tell somebody. It's just not a random event that you do in the middle of a service. Thank you for your attentiveness this morning and allowing us to. I really, today was ordained of the Lord. I don't apologize for allowing the Spirit of God to move the way He did during worship and stuff. We need to be obedient, but we also needed to hear what Gary had to say. I want to be blessed. I want to walk under the favor of God. How many want to do that? That you want the favor of God in your life. You know, the Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. Being obedient to God and whatever He asks us to do is the key. And so I want us to pray. I ask you to raise your hand if you wanted to walk in the favor of God. I'm going to ask God to bless you with that favor. And here's what I'm going to tell you to do. When you walk out, be sensitive to the voice of the Spirit, because I do believe that when we become obedient to God, there are going to be opportunities, whether you're in your pajamas or not, that God's going to say, do something for somebody. And you're going to see God bless you in a miraculous way. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, come on, just lift your hand with me. God, I thank you this morning for just an incredible move of your Spirit today. Lord, there were miracles that took place this morning. Lord, anxiety has been relieved. Fear has been cursed. Lord, you have brought peace into hearts and lives, and for that I am thankful. Lord, for the 12 this morning that prayed that prayer for sin to be removed out of their life, God, I thank you that, Lord, through the blood of Christ, our sins have been washed clean. The slate is made whole again. So, Father, may we walk out in that newfound life. Paul said, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. Old things pass away. All things become new. Lord, may we be excited about that and tell somebody. Father, for these kids that are being sponsored, not just here, but as they continue to travel. And, Lord, I thank you for the benevolent heart of a church, a compassionate heart to reach out. Father, as we close, I pray for everyone that raised their hand and says, I want to walk in the favor of God. Lord, sometimes we say things and we don't really understand the gravity of what we're asking, but Lord, I pray that this morning we understand that favor comes out of obedience. That when we are obedient to do what it is that you ask us to, Lord, then great favor will rest upon us. If we're faithful in the little, we'll be faithful in the larger. So, Father, I pray that each and every one of us will tune our ears to the Spirit's voice so that we can walk in sync with the Spirit, so that we can walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh, so that we can walk in the favor of God. Now, Father, I ask you to go with us today. Give us a wonderful afternoon, and for our fellowship time tonight, bring us again to bless our time together. Lord, I love and I bless each one here today. May your favor rest upon us as we walk in obedience. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Love you so much.